Welcome to the panel discussion, the awards and opportunities for modernizing federal IT networks, sponsored by Brocade on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller, executive editor of Federal News Radio. Our panelists today are Wolf Tombe, Chief Technology Officer for Customs and Border Protection, Commander Kevin Keast, the Product Line Manager for Enterprise Information Systems Infrastructure at the Telecommunications and Information Systems Command for the U.S. Coast Guard, Tom Bayer, the Chief Information Officer of the Security and Exchange Commission, and Anthony Robbins, the Vice President of Federal for Brocade. Welcome, panelists. Before we get into the discussion, let me set a little context. The federal network has taken on a whole new meaning over the last decade. The definition of the federal network is something we're going to explore today. The network used to be just how you called someone, the telecommunications network. But over the last 10 years, the network transformed into voice, video, and data, the all-encompassing network. And now as agencies jump into the cloud computing pool with both feet, the definition of the network is changing again. And as this definition changes, the opportunities to do more through the network grows. Take the Homeland Security Department, which we have two representatives from on our panel today. It has at least 11 services in its private cloud, so where something like test and development environment may have once been connected to the network, it's now on the network. And that change, while maybe minor in the grand scheme of things, is a good example of not only changing of how the federal network is changing, but the benefits modernization brings. The General Services Administration is in the middle of developing its acquisition strategy and plan for the next generation network services contracts, called Network Services 2020. One thing GSA is looking at is how to develop a contract that would basically standardize federal networks and thus make it easier to plug and play new technologies. The solicitation for NS 2020 remains at least a year or more away, so GSA's thinking obviously will continue to evolve. Meanwhile, agencies are not waiting for that next great contract. Many, most agencies already are modernizing their IT and the infrastructure that supports it. Cloud, virtualization, mobile are, of course, among the buzzworthy technologies that nearly everyone is looking into or actually implementing. And then there are the expectations that even more will be done. Network modernization is part of the Office of Management and Budget's portfolio stat effort. OMB says agencies identified more than $700 million in consolidation and reduction opportunities around mainframes and servers alone, and another $330 million around telecommunications, desktop computers, and other IT infrastructure. In all, more than $1 billion in opportunities and expectations that agencies will make better use of its technology infrastructure. So, with that context in place, let's talk about what it means to modernize your network infrastructure and what are the real and potential benefits for how agencies can meet their mission through a modernized network. Once again, I'm Jason Miller, and joining me today on this for this discussion is Wolf Tombe, the Chief Technology Officer for Customs and Border Protection, Commander Kevin Keast, the Product Line Manager for Enterprise Information Systems Infrastructure at the Telecommunications and Information Systems Command at the U.S. Coast Guard, Tom Bayer, Chief Information Officer of the Security and Exchange Commission, and Anthony Robbins, Vice President of Federal for Brocade. So let me turn first to Commander Keast. The Coast Guard is going through some network modernization. I remember as I talked to you before, I had a wonderful conversation about 9 months ago or so with Admiral Day, the CIO of the Coast Guard. Give us some perspective. What are you guys doing around network IT modernization?
Thank you, Jason. You hit the nail on the head when you mentioned how we're transitioning into a more of a service-oriented, capable IT infrastructure and network infrastructure. Right now, we're moving away from what we used to call the technical approach, where you would go out and basically install T1s, T3s, all these different data lines interconnected across the country, and we would throw out data centers and stand up racks and racks of servers, all with individualized capabilities that would provide things like email and other services, web services that we all have been able to depend upon to get our work done and basically provide IT services to our users. One thing that we have done is we've shifted that approach to more of what we're calling an IT service management approach. And that approach has basically allowed us to understand what the users actually need as a service and try to see where we can basically get a lot of cost efficiencies and try to capitalize on that. And that does mean things like virtualization, cloud services, and of course the mobility, something that we got to keep in mind. But one thing that we're trying to stress on is the things like utility and warranty of our services that we're providing. Warranty in the respect we need to make sure we have the right amount of capacity, we have the right continuity of service for our operations, and we have the right security built in to be able to provide our users the services they need. email, for example, and moving to the cloud and things like that, we are definitely looking at those things, and it's going to take some time to be able to understand what our current requirements are as we start to move in that direction. What we're trying to do right now in the Coast Guard is we're trying to analyze our services very specifically down to the amount of people it takes to make that service available, the amount of hardware, and the amount of software licensing that goes into that to provide that service to every individual. Being able to do that and understand that will help us identify how we can best move these various services to the cloud.
You mentioned shift to an IT services management approach. Does that mean you're going to your customers and saying, what do you need? Or how are you figuring out what services they're looking for?
Great question. And the way we've done that is there's some obvious things that we can understand because we definitely do not have requirements documented for every single thing. But we know that we need email. Our users email, they use it every day. In fact, it's so much dependent on now where, and when email services are down, it's almost like parts of government stop. Web services, that's another thing that we have to take into account. We have captured those requirements, built them into our service level agreements, and we're basically getting them signed off on our customer by our customers and our users so that we can continue to provide the services they want and need at the levels of availability and continuity of service that they require.
All right. So let me move over to Anthony Robbins from Brocade. A lot of the things that Commander Keese talked about, I'm sure you're seeing from your customers. Give me a high-level view of what your customers are asking for.
Well, there's a couple of things that are going on right now. So first of all, the entire network infrastructure of the federal government was put in place before all the megatrends that are driving IT transformation today. So the networks, the spanning tree network, the network in the data centers, how we did the whole client-server architecture was put in place before the federal government said they were going to consolidate from, 3,200 data centers to whatever.
6,000
now. Right?
That's the latest.
Right. And so before the data center consolidation initiative took hold, before virtualization took hold in the data center, before security, before the cybersecurity threat, before mobility, before BYOD, social media. So all the megatrends that are driving the DOD, the civilian agencies, and the intelligence communities, enterprise modernization, all of that happened after the network was constructed and put in place. And so as you move into that environment where the federal government's the largest producer and consumer of data, and you want more users on the edge, you want less data centers and all this complexity, you've got to address the cost of the network infrastructure. So OMB has a view of how much they can spend annually or how much they can save annually on the network. We have information that says they can save a lot more, while at the same time improving the capability and capacity of the network infrastructure. It all revolves around commercial best practices and simplifying the network. So the number one cost of the network is people, and the number one issues related to the network is also people. And so as you modernize and simplify, you've got to get at the people equation as it relates to the network.
Sounds like you want to get rid of the people and bring in the technology. Is this like a, Terminator Skynet thing?
Well, we don't want to get rid of the people and bring in the technology, but there is technology available in the marketplace today that reduces the reliance on people to actually get at, the things that you want to do. So the idea is to manage the cost of the classic cost of network operators, pulling cables, connecting boxes, individual management of it, and get those people working on the next higher level bit, which is, the cybersecurity threat as an example.
I think that's a great point. A lot of people here think the people cost, but they forget you don't need to pull those cables anymore. I think that's a great picture. Let me move over to Wolf Tombi from the Customs and Border Protection. You were getting excited when Anthony was speaking. Give me a sense of where CBP is.
Well, yes, I was. So I agree with everything that Anthony and that Kevin said, but it's interesting. You asked, how do we learn what our users want? Well, our users are incredibly vocal. we don't have to go to them. They're coming to us. So if you look at what's happened in CBP over the past 4 years, we've doubled our mission workforce. So we went from about 5,000 Border Patrol agents to 10,000, and we went from about 4,800 officers at the ports of entry to about 10,000. If immigration reform hits, there's talk about adding another 20,000 Border Patrol agents. All of these agents and officers are coming right out of college. Their lives are intimately and intrinsically integrated online. If you ask them to give up their smartphone device or to disconnect from the network, you might as well ask them to stop breathing for 8 hours a day while they're at work. So that's a reality that we have to accommodate from an IT perspective. You talk about cloud, mobile, big data. All of those intrinsically rely on the network. All that's great, but if you don't have a network, you can't get to any of it. So the network has to evolve. It has to evolve very, very quickly, and it has to evolve in a proactive way that meets this 24/7, always connected, no matter where you are, no matter when, environment that the users are demanding.
And let me just do a quick follow-up over at CBP. How are you guys kind of addressing that kind of agile, that kind of demand-based network?
Well, agile, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's exactly how we're trying to address it. And we're also looking at the culture. So one of the hardest problems about any truly transformational change is changing the culture. It's not just the culture. I mentioned the culture of the users has radically changed in what they expect. Now we need to change the culture of network engineers and network operations and SOC operations people to understand that that's a reality that we have to very quickly and very agilely grow to achieve.
All right. Let me move over to Tom Bayer from the SEC. Now, you guys also are going down a similar path as what you heard earlier about the network modernization. Where is the SEC in this continuum?
So to improve our core operations and to meet our expanded mission under the Dodd-Frank legislation, the SEC is engaged in a technology transformation program. And essentially, we are leveraging a program which we call Working Smarter, which will ensure that our staff work smarter, more efficiently and effectively, and they use automated tools wherever possible, analytics wherever possible. And we have a classic big data problem. We have 4,000 people at the SEC. And we intake literally millions of documents per month, and just huge amounts of data, both on the corporate filing side, within e-discovery, and other aspects. And so we leverage automated analytics wherever possible, and dashboards, visual analytics, et cetera, in order to improve the performance and efficiency of our staff, and to also meet our mission, and to provide better customer service to those that are looking at those federal filing reports as well.
One of the things about the network infrastructure changes you're making, the cloud obviously plays into everything we've talked about here. Everyone's kind of has that cloud look. From the big data perspective, is that where kind of the network modernization meets the latest buzzwords, and that's where the benefit comes out on the other side?
Yes, so we at the SEC have leveraged the cloud very effectively. We have over 50 applications in the cloud, and a lot of them are big data related. For example, we recently started a program which was Market Data Analytics, or the MIDAS program, and that's all in the cloud. We also have much of SEC.gov, which is the largest website on the federal government. We get about 2.5 billion hits per month on SEC.gov, and so it's a large website that's hosted in the cloud. And we also recently moved one of our data centers into the cloud, and the other one is being moved in at the end of this summer.
Let me shift over to Anthony real quick, because you get to see from a broader perspective than maybe each of the agencies. The definition of what the network is, has that change happened? Do people understand the network is no longer, as Commander Keyes talked about, T1 and T3 lines?
Yeah, I think so. It's just, you know, it's a systems of networks or capability that serves the enterprise is how we look at it, right? And today, if you're in the Department of Defense, you know, you're tactical warfighter networks are more related today to data center networks or enterprise networks than they were in the past. I mean, some of the things that you said in your opening. So I think the network gets looked at in its broadest sense today, better than it has before. But I still think that there's opportunities around, you know, considering commercial best practices as it relates to the network, modernization, improving capability and capacity, that are still opportunities.
Well, I don't think anyone ever turns off. I mean, mainframes and servers are not going to go anywhere. I mean, you can't move everything to the cloud, which actually, when you brought up the DoD, I thought of Commander Keyes here, and you guys probably have that separation too, where you have two maybe separate types of networks running. How do you guys define them?
That is correct. The Coast Guard is actually on a dot mil network, so we are in compliance with all standard DOD practices. However, we do our reporting through DHS. So from a IT and networks perspective, we're basically compliance, and we maintain connectivity to DHS, but we have stringent gateways that we go through to do that. But overall, we are definitely a DOD player when it comes to IT and networks.
Well, but how does that change the way you view the network? I mean, if you think hear what Anthony was saying, one of the things he's saying that the modernization opportunities are big because there's still these servers, these mainframes, these other types of technologies that can be moved to can be virtualized. Are you able to do that by defining kind of separate networks? I mean,
we currently have one basic network, which is the DOD network, which is our Coast Guard unclassified network. But we also have a classified network on which we participate called the CIPRNet. One thing that we do have to be keeping in mind is we certainly have two people we have to work with and two people we have to answer to, DHS and DOD. However, from the technical side, right now we're in the DOD camp, but we do try to leverage as much as possible any DHS resources we can obtain when the time is right. And if it's able to do that, we can get our capabilities there as well.
Wolf, real quick.
So I think you hit the nail on the head when you said currently people are looking at networks in terms of telephone networks, data networks, and maybe even now video networks. And that's certainly the way we're looking at it from a legacy perspective. However, that has to fundamentally change. The network of the future is one ubiquitous network that provides any transport any user needs when the user needs it in a seamless and behind-the-scenes way. So the idea of using VPN connections and making the users go through all these machinations to get to their data, it has to change.
So no more VPNs? Is that what you're saying?
Well, VPNs will just be ubiquitous. They'll still be there, but there'll be direct access capabilities.
I won't have to log on separately.
You won't have to worry about it. It'll just take you
can
there.
Can you make that happen?
We're making that happen now.
Jason, so to that end, so if you were... shocked at how many data centers that the federal government has and what we would have to go to, I can tell you there's tens of thousands of more networks that support the federal government. So when you think about network consolidation and the like, it's a far more daunting task, frankly.
All right, and Tom?
I think we are looking at both our internal user as well as our external user, and the way that those users are connecting to us is changing dramatically. We have a much more mobile workforce, and we have a much more mobile interaction with our customer base. And so millions of people literally log into our network using tablets and their smartphones, and we've got to move into that direction and be ready to support them in that native environment.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. We're going to jump more into network and modernization. You're listening to the panel discussion on the awards and opportunities of modernizing federal IT networks on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.